those of you that are listening, I'll say this, we appreciate, let us know. We'd like to know if you're tuning in. You can send us an email, and the information is on sermon audio. Romans chapter number 1, and we are going to pick up with man. We've looked at man's rebellion in verse number 18. It tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know the truth. They know that there is a God. They might not be able to tell you His name, but they know that there is a God. The heavens declare His handiwork. And there's something within every individual that tells them that there is a God, so there's a higher power. And so they hold the truth. Now, in the very beginning, they knew that they just suppressed it. Cain, when he rebelled against God, he knew the truth of God. And he knew what kind of sacrifice to worship Him with, to come to Him, and he refused. And therefore, he suppressed, he held that truth in unrighteousness. He suppressed that and said, I don't care what that is about. I'm going to do it my way. And the Bible speaks of the way of Cain. And there's a lot that have gone that way, of course. But so we see man's rebellion in verse number 18. We also see man's revelation in verses 19 and 20. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, in the individual, in the person, it's been made manifest that there is a God. And it says, for God hath showed it unto them. And here it talks about the creation. For the invisible things, verse number 20, of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's not fuzzy. It's not obscured. It's clearly seen. And it says, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and His Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Not one person, all of us, every man and every woman, every boy, every girl, is going to stand before God one day and give an account. And when they stand before God rebelling against Him, and refusing, suppressing this revelation, they are going to be without excuse. I mean, how many times have we been called to appear before our parents or those in authority, and we begin to make excuses? Well, it's not my fault. You ask Josh and Melissa when they talking to their boy. It's either Carter's or Lincoln's, and they begin to make excuses. And it was always my brother's fault. I don't know why, but it was just fell his lot to be his fault. And I just made that excuse. Well, when we stand before God, I will not answer for you. When you and I as believers, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Those unbelievers will stand before the great white throne judgment. But all of us are going to give an account. And so those that stand before the great white throne judgment, having rejected God, they are going to be without excuse. So then this morning we looked at man's rejection of God. Having known that God existed and then revealed, having this revelation just by the creation and it made manifest to them, they rejected God. Verse number 21 says, because that when they knew God. Now, we said this morning this was not in a personal way, but they knew about God. I know about Abraham Lincoln. I never met him personally, never shook his hand. I know Bradley, but I don't know Bradley like Hannah knows Bradley. And that, thank you, brother. I don't care what they say about you. I still like you. So, here, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Verse number 21 says, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That brings us up to where we're at now. Their reaction to God. Verse number 23 says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So their man's reaction to God, he reacts in, first of all, when he denies, rebels, and rejects the revelation, he reacts in a foolish regression. In a foolish regression. When man turns from the Lord and chooses to not acknowledge Him and really closes his eyes to the truth of God, he really thinks he is wise. I mean, he really does. He thinks he's really that and a bag of chips. All that and a bag of chips. I mean, he thinks he is, he really thinks he's wise. Man's perception of himself is that he has all the angles figured, figured out, and that he has all the bases covered. I was talking to an individual. He said, Pastor, I do not want to tie myself down to one particular religious way of thinking or religion. So I'm experimenting with this. He's went over to Mormonism, and then he's been to Catholicism, and now he's probably going to go to Hinduism, and then he'll go over to Islam. I mean, if he keeps what he says he's going to do, what he's trying to do is cover all of his bases. You know, man, when they reject God and they close their eyes to the truth of God, they think that they're wise. They think they've got all the bases covered. They've got all the angles figured out. But in reality, God says that while they think that they're so smart, they are nothing but fools. Professing themselves to be wise, verse 22, they became fools. You see the regression. They were not fools in the beginning. They knew God. They knew about God. They were given the truth. But they refused that, and they became fools. You see a regression here. Sinners have it all backwards. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter number 1. First Corinthians chapter one, number 1. Let's drop in at verse number 25. Now remember, sinners, the world, have it all backwards. Verse number 25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Now, that does not say that God is foolish. It says if God was foolish, that it'd be, even in His foolishness, would be wiser than man. All right, you understand? It says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God. If God was weak, we know He's all powerful. There is none greater than He. But if He was weak, if there was a weakness, if there was an area of weakness, it would be of God is stronger than man. That's what Paul says. Now, verse number 26 says, for ye see your calling, brethren. He's talking to believers. He said, I want you to understand this, brothers. and sisters in Christ. He says, for ye see your calling, your salvation, your walk with God, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He says in verse number 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught that things that are. That, and here's the reason why, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Do you understand what Paul is saying here? He's saying, brethren, but God has chosen the foolish things. We were fools outside of God. And by His grace, He has chosen us to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things. When we could not save ourselves, we were incapable of coming to God, except that the Spirit of God draw us. God chose the weak things of the world to confine the things which are mighty. The base things, that's the lowest things, that's where you and I were. And the things which are despised, no one loved us, no one liked us, but God loved us, amen. God loved us enough to send His Son and die for us. No one else did that because we were despised. And it says, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not. The things that were considered nothing. That was you and I. To bring to naught the things that are. And here's the reason that no flesh should glory in His presence. It's all of grace, and all of grace is a song that Tom Hayes wrote some years ago. All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory, something like that. It's all of grace. Verse number 31 says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If any of you have, any of us have anything to glory in, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the world and the sinners have it all backwards. They have it all backwards. In the world's eyes, the Christians are the biggest fools in existence. The world, you remember Brother Fred's own testimony. How Brother Fred said before he was saved, he would fly over Fairbanks on up to the Brooks Range and fly over churches filled with parking lots, filled with cars, and say, what idiots. And had his bottle of liquor. Wonder he's alive today, flying and drinking at the same time. But he said he looked down and said, what fools they are. Until God in His grace revealed Himself, and he's realized he was lost and on his way to hell. I'd like to be in a fly on the wall when he walked into Brother Hugh Hamilton, laid his Bible on his desk, and said, tell me, is this thing true? Is this thing true? Those of you that don't know Brother Hugh Hamilton, he's a godly man, godly man. Came out of Augusta, Georgia. I used to think this about, I didn't know any better, and so I have an excuse. But Brother Hugh Hamilton pastors the Hamilton Acres Baptist Church, and I thought, how vain to name the church after yourself. And I didn't realize he was in Augusta, Georgia. Hamilton Acres was already in existence, and they called him. They called a man, Hugh Hamilton, to come from Augusta, Georgia to pastor. And so when I was up there, I said, Brother Hugh, tell me, how in the world did you get by with naming the church after yourself? And then he set me straight. I felt about that big. But Brother Hugh Hamilton was instrumental in leading Fred Ensign to the Lord. Oh, listen, the world, in their eyes, Christians are the biggest fool in existence. The world, those of the world, thinks that Christians are missing out on all the pleasures of the world. Well, we are missing out on a few things. Yeah. You know what I miss out of? I miss out on hangovers. I miss out on being shot and beat up because I'm running around on my wife and I'm getting caught up with another man's woman. I miss that. Don't look at me that way. We're missing out on those things. Man, and they think that we're missing out on a lot of things. I miss out on having a burden of sin. My sins are forgiven. My sins are under the blood. But the world, they have to go to bed with that burden of sin upon them. We really don't miss out on a lot. They think we miss out on everything. We don't have no fun. They need to be around New Hope Baptist Church when we get together. It's just one big laugh. We have the time of our life. The world thinks that it's all foolishness to place one's faith in a man who died 2,000 plus years ago, but we look for him to return at any time. How foolish that can be. That's what the world thinks. That's the world's perception. But from God's perspective, however, the wisest decision any person has ever made was to place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've not done a lot of smart things and a lot of wise things. There was one wise thing I did. As a 7-year-old boy, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you be honest with yourself tonight, and it's probably the smartest move you've ever made. To think about where you would have been if you hadn't have come to Christ when you did. Mm-hmm. The greatest. I've not done a lot of smart things since. I've done some foolish things. But the greatest, the wisest thing, this is in God's perspective, that the greatest thing that we could ever do was accept His free gift of salvation. I would rather be perceived to be a fool now than to live in sin and prove that I am a fool at the end. I'd rather be perceived to be a fool now, and to the world we are. That's what they prove. But I'd rather be perceived to be a fool now than at the end prove that I was a fool because I rejected Jesus Christ. So we see that man in his rejection, his open rebellion, with the revelation of God to man and his rejection of God, we see his reaction to God. He reacts in a foolish regression. Verse number 23 tells us that he reacts in inventing false religions because he's already rejected the true God. But yet there's something inside him that desires to worship. Mm-hmm. There's a void in there that only God can fulfill. And to fill that void, he tries to invent his own. You see, man says no to God. Psalms 53 and verse number 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And of course, in our King James Bibles, that word "there is" in italics. And it means it wasn't in the original, but the translators of the King James Bible in 1611 decided to put it in to try to make it sound clearer or make better sense. But it really reads, the fool has said in his heart, no God. Not there is no God, but there's no God. They knew that God existed. They had all that they knew that they needed to recognize that there was a God. And they said, no God. Having said no God, then man turns around and invents things to worship. No God. Builds his own little empire, builds his own little, and worships it. Talk about foolish. What the Lord is telling us is that man is a religious creature. A religious creature. If man doesn't worship God, he will manufacture a God to worship. What does it say there in verse number 21? It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations. They said, no thanks, God, no God, and turn right around and create something to worship. And if that doesn't scratch his itch, if that doesn't, they will find another man or another person, another thing to give their worship to. Everybody worships something. Maybe be their own self. I know some people that worship their job. Some people worship the things that they make or they build. We know some builders, they worship the works. Cain did. That's the way of Cain. He worshiped, he admired the things that the fruits and the vegetables that he tilled out of the ground. So if that doesn't fulfill him, if that doesn't scratch his itch, if that doesn't fulfill him, man will find something else. If that doesn't fit the bill, he will set himself up as his own little God and will live his life only to worship and to glorify himself. That's what a man does when he is left to himself. Notice verse number 23. We see a downward spiral. I was watching a home improvement show. I like to watch those from time to time. See, there's this craze for tiny houses. Tiny Nation, they call it. You remember what? And their people are all downsizing, you know, going from a 2,000 square foot home down to a 400 square foot home. And they put it on a trailer and they move it around. It's like building their own RV. But I was looking at this and they had you used to see it in some places. They're kind of cool. They save a lot of space, a spiral staircase. You know, and you just go up. You know, or when you come down, you know, kind of steep, but when you talk about space saving, you know. But we see in verse number 23, we see a downward spiral. Look at verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So they went from God to man to birds to four-footed beasts to creepy things. I mean, really? They went, there's a downward spiral. Man God, man, birds, animals, reptiles, slugs. Right all the way down. Do you not see it there? That's the only way, that's the only direction a person goes in when they reject God, is a downward. Many times in the Bible, you read where they went down to Jericho because their starting point was Jerusalem, the high mount, Jerusalem. And from every direction from there, the city of God, it's a downward slope. Go down to Jericho, down to Egypt, down to, you know, wherever. Well, that's the only direction man without God is headed. In a downward spot. And eventually it is hell. Notice that. It is just the opposite of what some people believe about evolution, isn't it? Evolution, they said, we started out in a little amoeba. In a little mud hole somewhere. And all of a sudden it just evolved and evolved and evolved. And now I got a suit on, a tie, glasses. Walking on two legs. Yeah. But it's the opposite. It's the opposite. There is no evolution here. Notice when man steps away from God, he doesn't evolve, he devolves. God, man, birds, animals, creeping things. Man doesn't progress upward. But he regresses downward. This is his reaction when he refuses to notice God and recognize God. Listen, a life without God is a life that is on a downward path, period. A life without God. I said this morning that a lot of these texts, although it is directly talking about those who refuse to acknowledge God. And it's really not talking about believers, but we can make application even those believers who decide to walk away from God, decide, and their life doesn't get any better, but it begins a downward spiral. And the further they get away from the light, the further in darkness they get. Yeah. I mean, I know people right now in our town, they once worshiped in this church, they once was involved in this church, and they turned their back intentionally and said, I'm having no more to do with it, and their life has not gotten any better. They are the most miserable, crankiest, grumpiest individuals that they never smile, they never have a kind word. They just, life doesn't get any better. Life doesn't. I remember days when I was not where I should have been with God. I guess one of the lowest points in my life was while we were in Bible college. I was training to be a preacher of the gospel. And Bradley, I backslid on God. I was studying for hermeneutics. I was studying for pastoral theology. I was studying, you know, the different books of the Bible for the test. And this man, the inward man, was starving to death. Because I was just, and I realized, hey, I've got to get with God. I've got to get in His Word to feed my soul. And forget the rest of it. And that's got to come first. And people that react that way, and they get away from God, and they just get, you know, just like, I mean, I'm in this lighted room, and it's getting darker. I tell you, that's their life. In a downward spiral. Walking away from God doesn't prove that you're wise. It proves that you're a fool. Proves that you're a fool. This is a sad shape to be in. And the only way we can go talk to them, we can pray for them, we can do all these kind things for them, but the only thing that's going to wake them up is God's Spirit. He's going to have to wake them up. And you get to the point, I don't know if you've been here, but I have as a pastor. God will burden your heart for somebody, and then one day I realize, I don't even think about it no more. And it's almost like God has kind of relieved you of that burden. And you know, they're in God's hand. And because there comes a time you just have to turn it over to the Lord. You have done everything possibly you could think of and done everything physically, mentally, to try to help that. Finally, you just have to, Lord, it's all yours. In conclusion tonight, it's time for you to go. In conclusion tonight, caught him off guard this morning. I saw him. If you ask me, a holy and righteous God has plenty of reasons to be filled with wrath. Verse number 18 tells us that the wrath of God is revealed. He has plenty to be angry with. The world, and then those professing Christians, those who have truly been born again, but yet has turned their back and walked away. And so you ask me, God, a holy and righteous God who knows the intents of the heart, He knows what we're thinking, He knows what's really, we can fool most of the people on the outside, but you can't fool God. And a holy and righteous God has plenty of reasons to be filled with wrath. I don't know your heart. I really don't. I only have your word, and I only have the works of your works of righteousness. I really believe you love the Lord. Or, you know, those that, and I'm not saying that those that aren't here tonight don't love the Lord. I know there's circumstances that come, but you know what I'm talking about. I don't know your heart, and on the flip side, you don't know my heart. But I am sure that not everyone here at New Hope Baptist Church is in the center of God's will. The percentages are, I remember years ago, the evangelist Billy Graham, I think it was Billy Graham, might have been John R. Rice, he was one of those large evangelists back years ago, said that maybe only 10% of a congregation was truly born again. Was it John R. Rice? Might have been. You think about that. That's staggering. I don't know if I would go that far to say that, but I do know not everyone in, even a small congregation we have here, probably not everyone is perfectly in God's perfect will. There's some areas in our lives. That's just being honest. There is always room for improvement. And this year, this new year, this is the first Sunday of a new year. Did we reach our pinnacle in 2014? I don't think so. All of us. I can be a better pastor in 2015 than I was in 2014. There's new challenges. Some of you are entering into areas you've never walked before. Bradley, in just a few months, you're going to be a daddy. Never done it before. And listen, there's no books. There's nothing that can tell you how to, right? But you just have to trust the Lord and follow that book, that manual. And believe me, you ain't going to get it all right. You're going to mess that up. Mm-hmm. Here's your good example. This is what I did. It scared me. I was 30, I forgot what, 34, 35. Andrew was born. Anyway, I got one shot at this. I got one shot of being a father. And I told my wife, I said, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And this is what I did. Everything, and I told my father one time, I said, everything that he did, I don't do. Everything he didn't do, I do do. You understand? What an example. I want to say thank you. He taught me some things. He was never involved in my life. I'm going to be involved in Andrew's life. He never prayed for me. I want to pray for Andrew. He never took me to fishing. He never did anything with me. I'm going to do something, even if Andrew don't like it. And at 18, until he whips me one day, and he won't do that. He ain't brave enough. But he respects me. You know, I'm going to do it. There's always room for improvement. And if we would like to make that improvement, we can do so. It's a fresh year. Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget it. We can't go back and undo it. There's so many people live in regret and despair, and they get, oh, and they want to blame everybody in the past. Everybody. I have a first cousin. Her first marriage, her only marriage. She's had many men, but she's only had one marriage. Fell apart. They were missionaries in the field. Come back. Three babies. Three kids. And she swore up and down that her husband was abusive to her. And I'm not saying one way or another. But after their divorce, I saw her getting further away from the light in the darkness. I saw him go on with his life, remarry, have another family. As far as I know, still going to church, still serving the Lord, not in the capacity he was. And yet she's always blaming him. And he's been out of her life for 20 years. I said, man, you better turn the spotlight on yourself. You can't keep blaming him. He's not been nowhere around. And every daughter has multiple children and no husband. I mean, it just, and there's a, it's just a downward spiral because they live in the past. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,